We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Every single day, reality calls, and the Biden administration just hangs up.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say.
Mark Reardon.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman? All I ask is
that you're a woman. Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah,
I can't.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Oh my God, even Michelle Obama tweeted something out with Woman X in the tweet. It's just this. I don't even know how to respond to some of this, but we're going to try to respond here, and I have a bunch of things to get to here this afternoon, so let's get right to it. I have to talk about the great replacement theory, because everybody's talking about the great replacement theory. I didn't even know what that was until a couple of days ago, but rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now and you're white, you are someone who supports the great replacement conspiracy theory, and I'll explain that in just a second. But I have to get to some audio here as we get started, because we have a full show this afternoon. Senator Blunt's going to join us in just a little bit. Jazz Shaw over at Hot Air, because he's been watching the UFO hearing. We have Ilya Shapiro, controversial law professor from Cato, is in town. He's going to drop by and visit this afternoon. General Keith Kellogg, Fox News military analyst. Just a few of the highlights from the show, plus an audio cut of the day. This one is potentially a candidate for audio cut of the day, and I have to get to it as we start here this afternoon, because I told you, and some people might have disagreed with me, no matter what you thought of Jen Psaki, I thought she did a pretty good job. I mean, she was full of lies and you know.
Yeah, but she was verbally adept.
Right, she was. She was. She was pretty good at what she was doing in that room, and I would say amongst the better that I've seen over the course of 40 years covering politics in the White House. And for those of you who think maybe I was exaggerating on that point a little bit, let's hear the new White House spokesperson from yesterday with Peter Ducey. If I can get it to play. Let's see. Take two. Where it says it's playing. Huh. So I'm very curious about this.
It's interesting because I don't hear it.
I know. I don't hear it either. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Here comes Abby.
I'm just lost. I actually pressed the right button and everything. Is there like a volume or something that's down on this thing? Man, and I was all set to get going and all that.
I know.
It's muted, right? Somehow it got muted. All right, take two. Let's see if this works.
President's Twitter account posted the other day, you want to bring down inflation, let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share. Mm-hmm. How does raising taxes on corporations reduce inflation?
So from the very get-go here, you're going to hear her completely confused. It's like, remember the Brady Bunch episode? Who was it? Was it Bobby or Peter that looked into the camera and, you know, he just froze up? I think it was Peter, if I'm not mistaken. That's kind of what she does, Karine Jean-Pierre here. She doesn't know how to answer it, so she kind of asks him another question.
So are you talking about a specific tweet?
He tweeted, you want to bring down inflation, let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share.
Yeah, it was that tweet. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't anything more complicated. It was actually the tweet.
Look, you know, we have talked about this past year, about making sure that the wealthiest among us are paying their fair share. And that is important to do. And that is something that, you know, the president has been, you know, working on every day when we talk about inflation and lowering costs. And so it's very important that, you know, as we're seeing costs rise, as we're talking about how to, you know, build an America that's safe, that's equal for everyone and doesn't leave everyone behind. That is an important part of that as well.
Let me explain what happened there. It's her first day, I guess, maybe one of her
and
first days.
And we got to cut her some slack.
Well, we may have, okay, I'll give her a little slack because it's a tough job. Okay, Sue, I'll give her a little slack.
Okay.
But she basically, I don't even know if she listened to the question. She basically formulated an answer full of all the talking points that were in her mind. She just spat them out like she was throwing up.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what happened.
I've
so, Ducey, you know, Peter's going to be kind of be nice, right? Jen and Peter they got along in the sense that they were good foes for one another. And then Ducey has the follow up here.
Raising taxes on corporations lower the cost of gas, the cost of a used car, the cost of food for everyday Americans.
So look, I think we encourage those who have done very well, right, especially those who care about climate change, to support a fair tax code that doesn't change, that doesn't charge manufacturers, workers, cops, builders a higher percentage of their earnings, that the most fortunate people in our nation, and not let that stand in the way of reducing energy costs and fighting this existential problem. If you think about that as an example.
Okay, I can't. I have no idea.
She kind of Kamala Harris the whole thing, where you don't actually say anything, but at least she didn't. And laugh.
It was horrible. It was horrible. So I had to get to that. Now, let me talk about the great replacement theory. This is, I guess maybe I shouldn't be shocked by anything anymore. The level of journalistic malpractice this goes on in this country on a daily basis and keeps happening is stunning even to me at this point. So this was actually a Washington Post story. So it's an AP story that the Post-Dispatch has put up on their website this afternoon with pictures of Eric Schmidt and Eric Greitens. And the headline is GOP Senate candidates, including Missouri Schmidt and Greitens, promote replacement theory. Now, this is a national story that they have somewhat localized. That's what they do because you don't have real reporters anymore. They just rip the stuff from the Associated Press and, you know, the syndicators out there. Here's the story. Here's how it reads. A half dozen mainstream Republican Senate candidates, including two of the front runners in Missouri, are drawing on the, quote, great replacement, quote, or unquote, conspiracy theory, once confined to far-right fringes of U.S. politics, to court voters this campaign season, promoting the baseless notion that there is a plot to diminish the influence of white people in America. Now, you would think that by normal journalism standards, if you make a statement like that, promoting the baseless notion that there's a plot to diminish the influence of white people in America, that you'd have maybe just a shred of evidence that that ever happened. But you don't. You don't have evidence of that at all. What you have is simply, and this is, I guess, I'm qualified here as well. If you say anything about illegal immigrants crossing the border and the fact that Democrat voters, but let's just go beyond that, that the power brokers in the Democrat Party are hoping that those particular voters are on their side. Is that replacement theory? Is that conspiracy theory? Is that racial hatred? Or is it kind of just political science and looking at the basics? Now, for those of you who might challenge me on this, let's play what happened on CNN. CNN leading the charge. Brian Stelter's leading the charge on this. He tweets out this big letter from Chuck Schumer. And Chuck Schumer is demanding, he's making some demands here, that we do something about white replacement theory because it is completely unacceptable. So he writes this letter from the United States Senate to Rupert Murdoch and Suzanne Scott, who's the CEO of Fox News Media, and Jay Wallace, the president and executive editor, and Lachlan Murdoch and Rupert Murdoch, saying, I write to urge you to immediately cease the reckless amplification of the so-called great replacement theory on your network's broadcast. Last week it was MAGA King, MAGA King, MAGA, MAGA. This week it's great replacement theory. Let me play you an example from CNN of what they're outraged about.
If the current trends continue, by 2045, the nation will be less than 50% white. True?
Correct. Yes.
And the political implications of this, Dr. Sines, are very significant.
So this is Michael Smirkanis. He's got a program on CNN. He's a former talk radio guy. He might still do talk radio, I think, on Sirius XM from Philadelphia. Michael's been a guest on the program
right
in the past. I know him a little bit. So he's on his Saturday morning show in the past talking about this, asking questions about it with a political science professor from Texas who basically says, yeah, that's basically what might be happening here.
But having said that, if the current alignments maintain themselves, meaning those groups that tend to vote for each party and that party's candidates, long term, the GOP's got a problem. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that is the bottom line. So that's political science. But in this story, if you go to the Post-Dispatch right now, this is one of my favorite parts of the story, is they allege that all this is happening with Republicans just because you have this feeling. They cite Eric Schmidt. Senate hopeful Eric Schmidt, the state's attorney general, said Democrats were fundamentally trying to change this country through illegal immigration. I think that's an accurate statement. I don't know how you can even challenge that based on what's happening in this country right now. So then you have, this is my favorite part about what journalism has become. This is an actual paragraph from this story. Five experts on hate speech. Experts.
What
on
is
hate,
that?
Exactly.
An expert on...
Who reviewed the Republican candidate's comments confirmed that they promote the baseless racist theory, even though the Republicans don't mention race directly. So they didn't mention race directly. Shmerkanish and this guy from Texas did exactly the same thing. But that doesn't matter, because if you're dancing around the edges of anything here, if you think that it's not really in our best interest as a country to have tens of thousands, if not after Thursday, hundreds of thousands, if not after Thursday, millions of illegal immigrants. Who's talking about Eric Schmidt talking about legal immigration? No, he doesn't have a problem with legal immigration. I don't have a problem with legal immigration. I probably would even part ways with some people on this issue just because I do think that there's a need for immigrant workers. I just like a path, and I don't want open borders because I think open borders are a bad idea. But just because you warn about this immigrant invasion on the southern border, which is real, I mean, we see pictures of this all the time, that makes you a white supremacist and someone who ascribes to replacement theory. It's utterly ridiculous. Now, I have a whole bunch more to get to on this afternoon, but we have some unusual timing with Senator Blunt, who's coming up here in the next segment. So I'm going to hold on to some of that. We have Sue's News coming up, of course, in the next hour. I mentioned Ilya Shapiro. Ilya has been controversial because he was appointed to this position at Georgetown University, and then they started trying to cancel him. But he's in town for a speaking engagement tonight for the St. Louis Lawyers chapter in Clayton. We'll talk about the Supreme Court issues and a whole lot more with him in the next hour. General Kellogg, after 5 o'clock, we'll talk UFOs. There was a hearing, an actual government hearing on all of this today. Jazz Shaw from Hot Air, who always gets geeked up on these topics, is coming up next. We had a hearing on Capitol Hill today dealing with, what we used to call UFOs. It was quite interesting. This is Scott Bray, who is the Deputy Director of Naval Intelligence, and we felt that this was rather intriguing.
There have been no collisions between any U.S. assets and one of these UAPs, correct?
We have not had a collision. We've had at least 11 near misses, though.
And maybe we'll talk about those 11 near misses or any place where there's close proximity. Have we attempted to communicate with those objects?
No. Generally speaking, for example, in the video that we showed earlier,
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It appears to be something that is unmanned, appears to be something that may or may not be in controlled flight. And so we've not attempted any communication with that.
All right. So this was like real today. It happened. And the person that gets most geeked up about this that I know, I think, is Jazz Shaw from hotair.com. He's with us this afternoon. You were all geeked up earlier, weren't you? I was watching your Twitter feed.
Yeah, it's been a busy day. Had a lot of requests to go on shows and comment and everything. And because apparently I'm, quote, the UFO guy for our network. So
yeah, you are.
It was. I had been asked previously to make some predictions about what was going to be covered in the hearing. I was expecting something a lot more milquetoast, something a lot more procedural. You know, how is it going? Do you have the resources you need? Who's cooperating? And those questions did get asked. But the people on the committee, they went, you know, full boss hog off in other directions. That was one of them. That video they showed, I had actually seen that previously. A number of reporters have seen that video, but it hadn't been released. So we knew it was out there, and they just went and displayed it in public in front of Congress, and that's one of the more shocking ones.
So explain what that was. I'm not sure, because I've seen some of these videos. Is this one likely that most of us have not seen?
Yeah, most people have probably not seen that. Like I said, it's made the rounds in the background, but they never owned up to it until now. It was one fighter jet. I think that was another Super Hornet. Might have been an Eagle. I don't remember it off the top of my head right now. But that object that the pilot took out his cell phone because he had no idea what was going on and filmed it as it went by, it was just this big, shiny ball. Didn't have any wings, didn't have anything. And it just blew past them, you know. And nobody tried to fire at it or anything, but it came pretty close. I thought the more remarkable thing was when he got the follow-up question and said, you know, basically, do you know what that was? And they're like, no, sir, we don't know what that was.
What was that, the one where they were talking about it was heading into like 129-mile-per-hour winds and things along those lines too?
Oh, no, that thing heading into the wind, that was one of the Nimitz videos. This one was much more recent. This was just in 2020 or 2021. It was quite recent, but they've been seeing a ton of them. You talk to like Ryan Graves and some of the pilots who were out there, particularly off the East Coast, off Florida, all the way up to near Virginia. They had days where they were seeing dozens of these things every day, and they didn't really have a way to report them or anything, but people were taking videos and record them. And it's like, what is this thing? And they're all like, we don't know, you know? And now we finally got somebody in front of Congress, got asked, do you know what that is? And they're like, nope, we don't know what it is. So yeah, there's a lot of that out there. And we have heard rumors from people like Lou Elizondo that this stuff these guys have been seeing in the classified briefings, they've got a lot better video and a lot more pictures, and more of that may be coming out. I was just shocked it came out today. And to hear them admit, it's like, yeah, we have no idea what's going on. We don't know what this is.
Yeah, because one of the questions, and I heard some along these lines this morning, the first thing maybe you got to figure out is this someone from our planet, right? Is it Russia? Is it China? Is there something going on here that we should know about? And they seem to kind of dismiss that as an option, right?
Yeah, the few answers we get when you contact Susan Goff and when you ask the Pentagon, any office you try to ask, is they've consistently said, and they said in last year's report, that they do not, they say it's not our tech. I don't know if that's true, because if it was and it was top secret, they wouldn't tell you. But they said, no, it's not our tech. And they have high level of confidence. It's not the Russians or the Chinese. So what does that leave? You know, we don't know. If somebody's got some technology that can just make a huge metal ball hang in midair and then zoom off at a really high speed, we haven't seen it. So I don't know. But it doesn't have windows or anything. It's, I don't know if there'd be anybody, anything in there. It's just this thing, and they buzz around. But, yeah, they've seen them on some days, like Graves said. You know, they've had a couple dozen sightings in a single day, and they'd be out there for a few weeks, and sometimes they'd be out there buzzing the ships every day.
And they made it clear there's been no attempt to communicate with the U.S. pilots or anything like that, or vice versa, right? And they did appear, I mean, at this point, they feel like these things are unmanned.
I don't know. Maybe they feel that way. And I don't think anybody has. Well, nobody, to my knowledge, has ever revealed any data that would suggest yes or no for the answer to that question. They could be some sort of like artificial intelligence probe, you know, something that's on autopilot, basically. Who, again, we don't know, and that's the answers we're trying to get. And I'm glad to see the government coming out in the open, and we have people in Congress asking the same questions. It's like, what's going on? This could be a flight safety hazard, if nothing else.
Hey,
you know,
hey, Jazz, it's Sue. Why do you think that they've suddenly decided to talk about it? Like, what flipped the switch here?
Politics, Sue.
Fair enough.
I really think that's a big part of it. People have, I've been part of groups that have been working on this for quite a few years and asking questions and trying to get Congress to take it seriously. And finally, two people, Kirsten Gillibrand and Senator Rubio, and also Congressman Gallegos and a couple others, they stuck their necks out when it was time for the NDAA last time. And they went and actually started asking public questions and said, hey, this is serious. We need to take it seriously. And it felt to me like most of their fellows in Congress were all sitting back holding their breath, waiting to see if these people were going to have their heads chopped off politically. And that didn't happen. And the more interest that came swelling in, the more contact that's been going into all of these offices from people saying, hey, what's going on? I think a lot of the members notice who was on that panel asking questions, both Republicans and Democrats, getting in there and asking some pretty aggressive questions with some wild stuff. And why? Because they found out this is a political winner. There is no downside. There is no constituency out there that's going to go, well, I was going to vote for you, but I think all the UFO stuff should be secret.
Right, yeah.
It's
right.
A winner. And they're all jumping on the bandwagon now.
So where does this take us next, and what's the ask? For example, what are you looking for here? One of the things, and you wrote about it in Hot Air, is that, you know, these things have been behind closed doors. Now they're coming out in the open a little bit, but there has not been a lot of oversight by Congress. So is that one of the calls? And also, part of this hearing was going to take place behind closed doors, so not all of this was public, right?
Right. There was a follow-up hearing that we didn't get to see. They've had those before, believe it or not, for people who haven't been following it. There have been a lot of classified briefings that we didn't get to see or hear about. We've tried to FOIA to get what's in those, and they always shoot you down. And what's coming next? I did like some of the after interviews with some of the members who came out and said, you know what we need to do? We need to put out some whistleblower protection and offer amnesty to anybody that will come out and say, you know, we're not going to bust you if you were spending money inappropriately. You know, we're going to forgive you. You're not going to go to jail if you break your NDA. Just come out and tell us now what's going on. Because later on, if we found out you had a secret program that you were spending money on, you're going to jail.
Right.
Hey, Jazz. Okay, it's Sue again. I saw a story probably last year, and it might have been, I don't know where it was. It had video. It was probably CBS Sunday Morning. That's pretty much what I would have watched. But they had two Navy pilots on there, as I recall, and they were talking about what they saw when something went by. Yeah. And because I'm not a huge, UFOs everywhere. But I have to say that when I watched that, I thought, these are two Navy pilots. They don't want to come forward and say, I saw it. But you know what I mean? There was something about that made me go, huh.
Yeah, we played that audio. I think it was part of a 60 Minutes story. You remember, Jazz?
Yep. The two pilots in question were Commander David Fravor and Lieutenant Commander Alex Dietrich. They were the two who actually engaged the Tic Tac in 2004. There have been other pilots that have come out since then, but they were the ones who saw the Tic Tac and engaged it. Fravor actually tried to chase it, and it just blew him out of the water and disappeared. And he was flying a F-A-18 Super Hornet, you know, capable of Mach 2.1, and he said the thing left him in the dust. So, yeah, they've come out and told their stories. They've been called, both of them, for multiple private briefings and hearings in Congress over the last several years. And lately, Dietrich is out there. She's on Twitter, and she talks about her experiences with Congress and the things she shared and the things she saw. And Fravor doesn't like social media, but he's done a lot of interviews. So yeah. Well, anybody wants to go Google those two names, you can hear their stories.
I got to get to Senator Blunt's coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But this is a big day, I think, is what I hear you saying. Because not just for what we heard at the committee, but because this is coming out more publicly. And that's pretty significant, Jazz.
Exactly. And there are more hearings coming up. And we believe from what we heard in the aftermath from the people running this today, there's going to be more public hearings, too. They want to hear from more people. They want more answers. A lot of them were not happy with the answers they got today.
Interesting.
Because they were very guarded and very dodgy.
Jazz Shaw from Hot Air, I appreciate the update this afternoon. Thank you very much. You have a good week.
Anytime, my friend. You guys have a good day.
Senator Blunt's coming up next. All right, we have Senator Blunt checking in with us here in just a matter of moments. Also, I'm very excited because Ilya Shapiro is going to be with us this afternoon. He is the author of Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nominations, and the Politics of America's Highest Court. He's a longtime VP and director of Cato Center for Constitutional Studies, and he's on leave from Georgetown University because of a controversial tweet that he made about KBJ, actually. And I don't know if he's even able to talk about that at this point, because we've had Ilya on a couple of times since all that, and we've kind of avoided that topic. But he's here in St. Louis to do a speech tonight for the St. Louis Lawyers Chapter, and in Jeff City tomorrow we'll break down some of these, certainly the Roe issue and some other things with the court in the next hour with Ilya, General Keith Kellogg, after 5 o'clock. We're joined right now by Senator Roy Blunt. How are you, Senator? Good afternoon.
Hey, great to be with you.
I want to get to a bunch of different topics here. There seems to be right now, in the aftermath of what happened, this horrible thing that happened in Buffalo the other day, with trying to connect the dots with Republicans who have expressed some concerns about illegal immigration at our border, and that somehow connects you with this replacement theory nonsense that's going on right now. Have you seen these efforts, and would you care to comment on those?
You know, I haven't seen those efforts, but I begin to detect that in some press questions today. And obviously, if you're making that point, you don't understand the replacement theory, which is a ridiculous position to have. It's a totally discredited, in my view. I absolutely reject it, and it has nothing to do with whether people come across the border or not. Anybody that asks that question, and somebody did ask me that a couple of hours ago, I said, you better go look at what this replacement theory was all about, because it's not remotely what you're asking about, and it's totally unacceptable and should be totally rejected, and it has nothing to do with whether people come across the border.
Yeah, but they are trying. I mean, there's an...
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
AP story that's in the Washington Post, and now there's one in our local paper because they, you know, they ripped it from the Post about how Schmidt and Greitens, they say, promote replacement theory. And I'm going to drag you into the race for the guys that are replacing you, but there's no evidence that they offer here, and they have these experts that chime in. So this is real right now. If you're a Republican, and whether you're in the media or an elected official, and you've expressed some concern about the flood of illegal immigrants, there's going to be this connection now to replacement theory. So I think you're going to get more questions, unfortunately, along those lines.
Well, you know, I'm not a political consultant. I'm not in the business of giving people political advice. They know what they said if they said something, and they should be able to defend that. And if you know what the replacement theory is, you have no problem dividing that from people coming across the border. And that's a different question.
I would think so. Know, absolutely.
They should be able to handle that. If they can't handle that, they wouldn't do very well in the United States Senate, and I'm confident they can handle that.
So let's talk about some of the things that have come before you even recently. I haven't had a chance to ask you about the leak, the Roe v. Wade situation, Alito's draft opinion. On the leak itself, let's start with that. Some of us are a little shocked and surprised that 2 weeks into this, 2 weeks plus, that the leaker has not been identified. Any insight on that or thoughts?
You know, I'm surprised by that, too, and I think the court is the proper place to pursue this. There's a separation of powers issue here. There aren't that many people that have access to draft opinions, and they should be able to figure this out, and every indication from the Chief Justice and others is that they want to figure it out, and they will, and at some point they need to decide exactly what the punishment should be for someone who basically violates a trust in the court to be able to exchange ideas. One of the problems in society generally now, I think, is that people are more and more afraid to express a differing opinion, even if it's not their opinion, just to be sure that it gets talked about. And things like this drive that even further. Now, I'm not suggesting that the draft, which appears to be the only draft in circulation, wasn't a serious draft and a serious discussion of what Judge Alito thought, where Judge Alito thought the court was headed. But the idea that it would be the final draft, even if there's references to sources or things that some justice who agrees with the draft thinks, well, this, I've got a better source and a better idea, and I'm going to suggest that. That's how the court should work. There's been a lot of efforts in the last few years to really weaken the court. Chuck Schumer going over there and standing on the steps and calling out Gorsuch and Kavanaugh by name and saying, if you do this, you're going to pay a big price. That sounds pretty threatening to me. Because they have a permanent job. They have a permanent job, so the price is clearly not their job. Or all the suggestions that we know, in fact, that the last judge that would have gone on the court before the Obamacare case would be going on there to vote against Obamacare, which is not what happened. And there's all kinds of intimidation. I hope I hope none of the nine of them that are on that court are people who can be intimidated from their pursuit of what they think is the right application of the Constitution.
I mean, I was outraged, and I think a lot of people were, that the majority leader cannot bring himself to say it's not cool to protest at these justices' house. Even Dick Durbin, our friend in Illinois, was critical of that and at least said, no, that's not right. So I think you have a lot of things here that are happening.
It took the White House a long time to say that, if they ever said it.
I don't think they ever did say it. You're right.
I don't think they did either.
Yeah.
And,
well,
it's actually against the law, and I think virtually every state, to intimidate, try to appear at a juror's house, a witness's house, a judge's house, a prosecutor's house, to try to affect the outcome of any legal decision. And you would think anybody would be willing and able to say that, no matter which side of the question they were on.
How about the shortage of formula, baby formula, in this country? This caught me off guard last week. I don't know if it's something you were dialed into before this.
Well, and you're closer to being worried about baby formula than a lot of people your age.
That's true. That is true. She, believe it or not, she's seven now. So things have gone. How old is Charlie? I can't remember how
Charlie
old.
Charlie is 17.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like the last time I saw Charlie, he was seven, and it might have been
Charlie. Yeah. Well, and I don't know about that, but it all happens in a hurry, as you know. The baby formula issue, I talked about this at our leadership stakeout today. This is something that we're going to have to start anticipating the consequences of decisions. You know, the FDA has known about this since the first of the year. In mid to late February, they closed down or encouraged the closure of the Abbott processing company that makes about maybe 35% to 40% of all the baby formula in America, based on the possibility that formula was involved in some unique challenges, health challenges that a few kids were having.
Right, right.
I think it turned out that they don't now they can find no evidence now that was the case. But you have weeks to think about it. And then when you do it, you have weeks to have – one thing you could have done is eliminate the tariff on Western European baby formula that we agree that it meets all of our normal standards, and we put a tariff on it. Another thing is to figure out if you could get the other companies with enough notice that they could be going to a shift and a half or a double shift 3 days a week or something to make up the difference. It's just unacceptable to have baby formula available all over the world except in the United States because of a decision that not only the government made, but they made with enough lead time that they should have been able to think about what are the consequences of this decision. And whether it's Germany shutting down their nuclear facilities or the FDA encouraging the closure of a baby formula factory, government has some obligation to think about what will happen when we do this and what can we do to minimize the problems that could arise.
Well, where are you right now? You know, a lot of these stories, Roe v. Wade, Alito, all the other things, the horrible shooting, have taken the headlines away from Ukraine. We still have a war that's going on. There are rumors that Putin might be seriously ill. There are calls for more funding for Ukraine. Where is Senator Roy Blunt on that situation right now?
Well, I'm for helping the Ukrainians. I was over there about a month ago with the majority leader in the House, Mr. Hoyer, who he and I were whips of the House. I was the Republican whip. He was the Democrat whip on the Ukrainian border, seeing what we were doing there to get us supplies and equipment in. It would be interesting, Mark, to know if Putin was more surprised by the incredible resistance of the Ukrainians, the unbelievable turnaround of NATO, or the lack of performance by his own military. But you've got to believe he was surprised by all three of those things. And if the Ukrainians are willing to fight for their freedom and for greater stability in Europe, we should be willing to help them. And I think we're doing that. We just had a second vote today. And again, you know, 85 or 90 senators will vote to step forward and help the Ukrainians who are willing to fight for themselves.
How much money are we talking about? And Senator Paul has expressed some concern about that, hasn't he?
Well, I'm sure that it's easy to always express concern about money. It's some of the same people that 3 weeks ago were saying we need to get the Ukrainians whatever they need as quick as they can get it, decided that, well, this is really too much, or there's something else in that bill I don't like. Fortunately, I think people are beginning to realize again that the United States plays an important part in the stability of the world, and others will step forward as long as we're willing to be there. And we're seeing that happen with NATO. You know, 70 years, Sweden and Finland have resisted joining NATO, and, you know, they're stepping up. They definitely wouldn't be stepping up if the United States hadn't shown that we're committed not only to our NATO partners, but also immediate neighbors of NATO that aren't asking us to declare, to consider this a declared war on us, but asking us to help them eventually achieve the kind of freedom that you would want people to have, and to secure the NATO countries who then don't immediately see a newly empowered Putin deciding, well, if I can do this in 40 million people Ukraine, I can certainly do it in 5 million population Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia. I think Estonia is 5 million. The other two are a little bit bigger than that. And so, you know, it's important to step up, and this is a critically important moment that's going to determine a lot of the stability of Europe and maybe the rest of the world for the next 20 or 25 years. You can believe the Chinese are watching to see what's happening in Russia, and I think it'll be a different decision-making process on their part if the Russians are successful, and particularly would have been different if the United States have decided, well, that's a long way from where we live. We're not going to get involved in this.
I got to run because we're up against the news here. I know you're busy as well, Senator Blunt.
Great
always,
to talk
yeah.
to you.
Thank
Look
you,
forward
Roy.
To seeing you soon.
I appreciate it.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.